Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. I want to look at the end of verse number 5 and then the totality of verse number 6. Philippians 4, the end of verse 5, and then verse 6. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is a blessing to be able to be with your people in your house to worship you. It is a blessing beyond measure to hear songs about you, to be reminded of what you have done for us, to be reminded who you are, and to know that through Christ we will be with you forever. It is a glorious thing to be able to come and just offer our praises and our thanksgiving and our gratitude to you. So God, thank you. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. What a privilege it is for me to pastor them, to be their friend. I thank you for them. So God, we pray that as we read your word and as we preach from it, that you would help us, that you would preach, that you would speak to every heart, that they would be able to hear what you say, and God, that you would give us the power to hear and understand. Before we leave this place today, I pray that that one that doesn't know you would come to see that they're in need of Christ, that their works will not do, their religion will not do, they must have Christ to be saved. I pray that you would convict them and convince them of those truths and save them for your grace and for your glory. We ask and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Philippians chapter number 4, the end of verse 5. Paul says, "The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And all God's people said, amen. Many years ago, Bobby McFerrin wrote a song that encouraged people to don't worry, be happy. How many remember that theologian? Do you remember how it went? It says, in every life, we have some trouble, but when we worry, we make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Everybody was singing that song. Even though we're unable to do it. Simply saying, don't worry, be happy, doesn't make it happen. In fact, we can't will ourselves not to worry. How many of you have tried to will yourself not to worry? I'm not going to worry about this, and then 5 seconds later, you're worried about it. We can't will ourselves not to worry. We can't will ourselves to be happy. So Paul understands that we live in a fallen world, amen? And we live among fallen people. Look around. Everybody you see is a fallen person. We live in a fallen world among fallen people, and we are fallen people ourselves. But even in that reality, even in that environment of being in a fallen world among fallen people and being fallen ourselves, God commands us not to be anxious, not to worry about anything. He has commanded us as His people not to worry. It is a command, imperative, that is in the active present tense, which means that it is something that we are obliged to obey, and it is ongoing. We should not be worrying about anything at any time, is what he says. Now, don't misunderstand me. There is plenty in life that have the potential to cause us to worry. And our flesh is prone to worry. Say amen. The default of every single one of us in this building today is to worry about things. That's what our fallen flesh does. What my fallen flesh does well is worry. Fret. There are health issues to worry about. There are family issues to worry about. There are financial issues to worry about. There are issues with our children to worry about. There are marital issues to worry about. And in the context of chapter 4 of Philippians, there was a church issue to worry about. Two women were in conflict with one another, and that conflict was not only threatening to damage their relationship, but it was threatening to divide the church. So Paul, addressing believers who have been regenerated by the power of God and who have the Spirit of God living in them, so they're more than just flesh, say amen. This is not Paul speaking to those in the flesh, telling them, don't worry, be happy. He's speaking to those who have the Spirit of God living inside of them, who are the children of God, who are more than just flesh. And he says, you are the children of God. God is your God. Do not be anxious about so the question is, where do we find the strength and where do we find the stability to overcome our tendency to worry? That's what I want to share with you from Scripture today. Let me do that by showing you why we worry and then what we are to do when we begin to develop worries, when difficulty comes into our lives, and then what God promises to do to help us. Number one, the reason for worry. Verse 5, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Now, how many of you believe that God could come back at any moment? I believe that too. I believe He may be at the door. But that's not what He's talking about here. The Lord is at hand, meaning the Lord is present. It is His presence that Paul is talking about here. Where is the Lord? He's present. How close is He? He's living inside of us. The Lord is near, is what he says. The Lord is near. Be careful. Be anxious. Be worrying for nothing. So you see that connection? The Lord is near, therefore, don't worry. So God, or Paul and God, connect the nearness of the Lord to this command to not be anxious. And what Paul is doing is he's teaching us, are you listening? He's teaching us that when we worry, or our worrying, or our anxiousness is a theological problem. It's not an emotional problem. It's a theological problem. Somebody help me. It's not what the world says. It's not what psychiatrists and psychologists say. But it is what God said. When I worry, I have a theological problem. Somebody help me. The proclamation is that the Lord is near. How many believe that? That the Lord is near. He lives inside of us as God's people. The Lord is near. And because the Lord is near, we are commanded to not worry about anything. So, the way we handle our problems, the way we handle our temptations, the way we handle our trials and difficulties is ultimately a reflection on your view of God. If you understand God, if you understand the Lord and who He is and all His power and His promises and His resources and His purposes and His plans toward you, and you also understand that this God is always near, then what cause is there for you to worry? If you understand that God is sovereign, if you understand that God is a loving God, if you understand that God is in control of everything in your life for His glory and for your good, if you understand that nothing is beyond the influence of God's control, if you understand that God is orchestrating everything for His eternal purpose, then there is no reason for a child of God to worry. Therefore, to worry, to drill down theologically, is to lack confidence in God. It is doubting God. Say amen. It's doubting God. And because this is a command, it's disobedience. When I worry, I doubt God, I distrust God, I disobey God. And I disobey because I doubt and I distrust. So the answer to our problem of worrying or our problem of anxiety is not you need to go to someone you can talk to about your problem. That's not the answer. Somebody help me. When I worry, it's not that I need to talk to someone about my problem. No, when I worry, I need to better understand who God is and that He is sovereign over my problem. That's the answer. Are you with me? You've heard this junk from our world so long, I can't even get through. You done been Dr. Spock too much. Dr. Feel too much. So the solution to my problem, the solution to your problem of worrying or being anxious is to have the proper perspective. It is an adequate knowledge of God that is essential in the matter of worrying. So where do I go to learn about God? In His Word. In the Scriptures. And the better I know Scriptures, the better I know God. Somebody help me. So, the biggest theological problem in the church today, the biggest theological problem among us today, is that we think man is sovereign, not God. You see, we believe that we have got to find it in ourselves to accomplish our spiritual goals. We have to find it in ourselves to win our spiritual victories. We have to find it in ourselves to know God. And God's up there somewhere hopeful that we will, because He'd really like to see us in heaven, so He's hopeful. So the theological problem of worrying is that we have confidence in man, not God. That's why you go to psychiatrists. That's why you go to psychologists. That's why you go to therapists and counselors and such. Because they will give us a way to overcome our anxieties. They will give us some formula that's going to work. And what we really don't understand is how weak and how fickle man really is. You see, the reason we have so much worrying in the church is we have bad theology. Wrong theology, bad theology, foolish theology. That's what we have. And the answer is that we develop a theology that shatters the confidence in yourself and in man and has confidence in God. The answer is a theology that understands that the answer is not found in man, the answer is found in God. The reason there is so much worrying among God's people is that there is so much bad theology taught in the church. Bad theology is bad. It's not, we ought not be indifferent to bad theology. Bad theology harms people and harms the church. So the theology that helps you with anxiety is a theology that teaches you to always distrust yourself and have a total trust in the sovereign work of God, His grace, and His power. It is a theology that understands that we were chosen by God, that we were redeemed by God, that we are kept by God, and that we will be glorified by God, and that every trial of our life is under the total control of God. So worry is a theological problem. And the way we obey this command to not worry is to have the right theology about God. And the way that we are to do that is to be in the Word and to be in church where the Word is taught and preached. Somebody say, amen. We need to hear what the Bible says about the person of God. We need to hear what the Bible says about the power of God. We need to see what the Bible says about the promises of God and the purposes of God. I need to hear about God. When I am anxious, I need to hear about God. And either you believe that God has it or that you have to have it. Does God have this situation? Does God have this? Can God handle this? Well, I don't think God can handle it. I'm going to have to put my hands on it. That difference in theology makes all the difference in the world as you walk with Him. So the reason that we worry is because we have theological misunderstandings or theological amnesia, or do we just have bad theology? Number two. Not only do we see the reason for worry, we see the reaction to worry. I want you to see this. What does he say? He says, but. Right? But. Instead of worrying, in contrast to worrying, but in everything. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Underline that with thanksgiving. Circle that with thanksgiving. Put arrows going to with thanksgiving. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. So how do we react to things? How do we act to difficulties? How do we act to troubles? If we're not to worry about them, what are we to do? We're to pray about them. Say amen. Instead of worrying, pray. But not just prayer, thankful prayer. Right? We're going to let the Bible speak today? Now, the assumption here is that there are difficulties in life. And in difficulties, God's people cry out to God in thanksgiving. So don't worry. That would be a better... Don't worry. Be prayerful. Be thankful. Instead of crying out to God in your difficulty with doubt, because that's what our worrying does, right? It cries out with doubt and questionings and dissatisfaction and discontent. Cry out to God with the attitude of what? Thanksgiving. Why thanksgiving? Well, because you theologically know that He is the God of promise who is working all things for your good, right? Does all things for my good mean just the good things or also all things? All things. Do we not know today that God works all things for our good? Does that mean everything? Everything. He is a God of promise who works all things for our good. He is the God of promise who is causing us to suffer a while in order that we may be made what? Perfect, that we might be settled, and that we may be established, is what He says in His Word. So you come to God in the difficulties of life, in the struggles of life, in the trying times of life. You come to God in prayer, thankful that God has purposes. That He has providence, that He has power, that He has given us His promises, that He is perfecting His work in us. Thankful for the hope of relief, thankful for the hope of glory, thankful for His will, thankful that He's doing exactly what He wants to do in our lives to accomplish what He wants in our lives. Thankful for past mercies that are the foundation for future mercies. Thankful. So I know, theologically, I know my God is sovereign, and I know that whatever may come, He will turn it for His own praise and for my growth. Therefore, I'm thankful for it. Say amen. This situation in my life is going to bring glory to God, and it's going to be for my spiritual good. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God knows my problems before I ask. I'm thankful that He can deal with my problem no matter what it is. I'm thankful for His knowledge. I'm thankful for His power. I'm thankful for His promise. And these words, prayer, supplication, request, all assume there is a difficulty in which we are directed to go to God. But the issue here is that we go to God with a thankful heart. So if you truly understand that your God shall supply all your needs, if you understand that God knows everything in your life and He actually cares about it, if you understand that God has the power for every difficulty, if you understand that God is perfecting you and making you like Christ, if you understand that nothing escapes God and nothing is outside of His tolerance and His purposes, then why would you be anxious and worry about anything? That's what Paul's saying. We don't trust God. Instead, we put our trust in man. So we run to the psychiatrist and psychologist and counselor and all those things. And all of that's just foolish for a child of God. Because I am going to prove to you this morning that you don't even trust men. You don't trust psychologists and psychiatrists and counselors. Let me prove it to you. When do you send a thank you card to somebody? Before they do something or after? Somebody help me. After. Well, why do you send it to them after? Why didn't you send them to them before? Because you didn't trust they were going to do something to be thankful for. Somebody help me. You're just as surprised as anyone else they did something to be thankful for. Somebody help me. So you send it after. Say amen. Paul says, don't send God a thank you card after. You send a card before. Because you're not going to be surprised that God does something. You're going to be assured that God does something. Somebody help me. We don't send a thank you card after the fact. Whatever God does or whatever God doesn't do, we understand that will be best for us and for His glory. We won't be surprised. We know that God does all things for our good and for His glory. So thank you! Say amen. Number three. The reason for worry. Misunderstanding of theology. Theological amnesia. Bad theology. We've heard it all our life. So we've developed bad theology. The reaction to these things is that we go to God in prayer and supplication. Make our requests known to Him with a thankful heart. Say amen. Thankful that God is God, thankful that we are His children, thankful that He knows, thankful that He cares, thankful that He has the power to solve the problem, thankful for all that God is, knowing that God is doing all things for His glory, for our good. He's working all things out. Thankful for all that. Thankful that this will make me grow and be more like Christ. And then thirdly, there is a replacement for worry. Notice what he says in verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you some nonsense I hear a lot. And I think it's nonsense. I don't think it has any biblical grounds. So I'm guessing they get this nonsensical thing from this passage. Somebody will tell you that they prayed about something, and then what do they tell you? I got peace about it. I prayed about this thing, and I want to do this because I got peace about it. That's the biggest bunch of nonsense I've ever heard in my life. I think it means that they prayed and they got an answer to their problem, right? And the peace is the answer to the problem, which really means, that's disguised language for really meaning, I'm going to do whatever I really want to do, and if you got a problem with it, then you have to take up with God because He gave me peace about it. It's simply nonsense. So what Paul says here, in the middle of your difficulty, in the middle of your problem, in the middle of the very thing that's causing you to draw near to anxiety and worry, when you're pleading and supplicating and praying to God, making your requests known to Him with a thankful heart, nowhere in this text does the answer become an issue. I'm waiting on you. Somebody help me. It does not say, pray, supplicate, make your request known to God, and when He gives an answer, then peace will come. That's not what the Bible says. That's what some crazy preacher said, and you said, sounds good. The answer is not the issue. The peace of God is not dependent on the answer. I'm waiting on you. Let the Bible speak and quit speaking for the Bible. The answer is not the issue. It does not say if you will pray, and if you will supplicate, and if you will request to God with thanksgiving, then God will answer your prayer the way you want, and you can have peace about it. It doesn't say that. It doesn't. It says nothing whatsoever about the answer. It says, whatever the answer may be, and whenever the answer may come, God, you give what you want. And I'm at peace with that. You with me? That's the issue. In other words, this is what it's saying. You know that situation in my life? I don't understand it. It has the potential to be very worrisome. But I've talked to God about it. And I'm thankful that God knows about it. And that God said in His Word that He's going to do what's best for me and for His glory. So you know what? I'm at peace about it. I'm waiting on you. I just killed your 20 years of independent Baptist theology, didn't I? I just shattered you. It has absolutely nothing to do with the answer. If you understand who your God is, if you can take every issue that comes into your life with a thankful heart as you pray and ask Him for deliverance, in the midst of it all, the promise of the Word of God is that He will give you peace. So, you don't go to humans to get peace. You don't go to man to get peace. Did you hear that? You go to God to get peace. There is no counselor in the world that can give this to you. There's no therapy in the world that can give this to you. There's no technique known to man that can give this to you. It is a gift of God to a believer who so confidently understands and trusts his God that he is thankful in the trial, and out of his thanksgiving, God responds by granting him peace, supernatural peace. So this is beyond any approach that attempts to reason your troubles away. It is superior to human scheming and superior to human devices and human solutions. This is just going to God, telling Him my problem, believing who God is, leaving it to Him, knowing He will do best, He will do for His glory, and just being at peace, trusting, resting in God. The real challenge of the Christian life is not to see if you can eliminate every uncomfortable thing that comes into your life. It's not, God, get me out of this. God, take this away. That's not the issue of the Christian life. The challenge of the Christian life is to see if you can trust your infallible, holy, sovereign, powerful God in the midst of every situation and have His peace about it. That's the challenge. And people are running all over trying to create a perfect world so they will be happy. God knows that's the main thing, to be happy. So if you don't like the way you look, what do? You change the way you look. You don't like the way you shaped? They got suction stuff for that now, I guess. You don't like, got a few love handles? They can suck it out. They don't like the way their mother treated them. They don't like the way their father treated them. They were abused. They were misunderstood. They weren't treated properly. They don't like the way their husband treats them. They don't like the way their wife treats them. They don't like the way their kids are turning out. They don't like the place they live. They don't like their job. All out of all of these things come all of these anxieties, and we should learn that we are fallen people living in a fallen world, and that's the way it's going to be. But the great reality is that we have a God who has overruled all of our fallenness. He reminded us in His Word, right? In this world ye shall have tribulation. Was God not? Well, you think God was lying? In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Paul says, this God grants peace, and this peace will keep, or better, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, if you know your God, and you know your God is near, and you have confidence and trust your God in the midst of every trial, knowing that it is affecting His purpose, and then being thankful in the midst of all of that for the purpose of God, even in the difficulty, you are granted the peace of God, and that peace will guard you and protect you from what? From worry, from anxiety, from distress and dissatisfaction and discontent and doubt. Oh, my heart needs guarding. My mind needs guarding. So may we, as God's people, who are loved by the Father, who are bought with the blood of Christ, the Son, and sought out by the power of the Spirit of God, may we rest in confident faith in God, in the Lord, in Christ, as we understand Him and trust Him that He will be consistent with Himself as He has revealed in Scripture, and then we will react to our problems with thankful prayer, and the promise of God is that peace will guard you, peace will bring you tranquility and contentment, whether we get the answer or not. And all God's people said, that's what He said.